We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for a beautiful day that you've given to us, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for our vision that we have. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that it's fixed on Christ. Lord, we want to make heaven a home. And dear Lord, we've made, as we talked this morning, we've made choices to make that direction, to make that final destiny possible. And Lord, we're so thankful for it. It's a blessing to our heart and our soul, our life, dear Heavenly Father. And it's a comfort to us. Dear Lord, it's a hope to us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. We want to stand before you one day. Dear Lord, we want to stand before you with joy and with confidence and with assurance that we're going to hear those wonderful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundations of the world." Dear Lord, that's what we desire. And dear Lord, we believe that the word teaches us when we make heaven a home, by the grace of God, we'll be sealed in eternity of safety through Jesus Christ. And Lord, there won't be any more battles of the enemy, won't be any more battles of self, of the world, or anything like that, but forever to be in the very blessings of Jesus Christ. And dear Heavenly Father, that's our desire, that's our hope, dear Heavenly Father. And as we spoke of some this morning, the pleasures of sin that are calling for us and directing us, dear Heavenly Father, trying to appeal to us, dear Lord, help us to make the choice to leave them alone, dear Lord. And we'll thank you for that, that we may make heaven. So, Lord, we ask you to help us as we look into the Word again this evening, dear Lord. Help us that you just anoint each and every one of us. Anoint the Word, anoint me that I bring that you would have us to. And we'll certainly give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, in Luke chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verse 16. Very familiar parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the rich fool. Jesus says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for me for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that laid up treasures for himself is not rich towards God." As I mentioned, we want to look at the thought from the song this morning, God's Way is Best. And I'm going to read those two verses, some of the thoughts that I've already brought this morning. We'll go over them again. But the second and third verses were impressed on my mind as we read them and sang them this morning. I'll reread them again. Verse 2 says, "Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray. And wander far away in darkness, nor reach that land of endless day." When I sang that this morning and I pondered the mercy and grace and blessings of the Lord, that I didn't choose my way, that I didn't choose the way I wanted to go, that there wasn't a pride in me to say, I want this. This is what I desire for myself. And my testimony was that I had a lot of hopes and dreams. And God said, God didn't condemn me for any of those things. He said, but if you go out and fulfill them and you miss the things of heaven, you miss being a child of God. All those are in vain. And as I read that, and I sang that, if I'd have had to choose in my pathway, and I'll be in blindness, the Bible lets us know, and I think about so many people in the world, they're blind. They're walking in darkness, as the next verse goes, and they wander around far away in darkness. They're blind, and they don't know they're blind. They're in darkness. They don't know they're dark. And they have a pride, an arrogancy about themselves. I'm doing what I want to do. And the last part of that, it says, nor shall they reach that land of endless day. And the third verse said, he leadeth true. I will not question. Though through the valley I shall go, though I should pass through clouds of trials and drink the cup of human woe. What a contrast of two verses, one behind another.
One verse saying, by in a pride, arrogancy, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's going to be in blindness, it's going to be in darkness, not really they understanding that. And the second and the third verse says that I'm going to put everything over to him. He leads me. I won't question the direction he takes me. Through the valley I should go, though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe, I realize that God's way is best. And I thank God I found that to be true so many years ago when I humbled myself and repented from sin. And from that time to the very day, sure, there's been battles, there's been trials, there's been hard places. But I thank God, God's way has been best every single step of the way. And I am confident from here to the end, it's going to be that same way. God's way is going to be best regardless of what we do in life or what direction we take. I thought about, as I said, these two words. And the first one is pride, which is found in verse 2. And the second one in verse 3, I looked at it as a humble. Being humble. And the thoughts with these two words, one of the first one with being pride, we must crucify pride. We can't have pride in our lives. We can't have any proudful thoughts of our lives. I know sometimes it's kind of a play on words, a sign of a catch. Some people may say, I'm proud to be a Christian. And there can be a pride to be a Christian. Thank God that I'm a child of God. But it's not a pride of anything that I've done. By the grace of God, he talked to my heart. And by the grace of God, I'm saved. Not that, but I'm saved. But it is a gift of God. It's the grace of God that I'm saved. Amen. And we need to crucify pride. Any pride in us. Any exalted part, because there's not one thing ourselves that we have done that has allowed us to accomplish anything. It's by the grace of God. God gives me strength. God gives me the ability to think. God gives me the ability to see, to speak, to do every physical part of my body. God gives us that ability. Not of ourselves. Not of ourselves. And the second one, the thought of being humble, we must exercise humility. You know what it means to exercise? Take some work. And you can't exercise if you want to achieve a particular goal in life and health or whatever. You can't do it once a month. You can't even do it once a week, really. If you're really wanting to achieve a certain goal, especially when you're a young person and everything, you want to go after something, you need to exercise. And sometimes it's every single day, multiple hours a day. We have to exercise humility. That doesn't come, and the same thing with the physical exercise, it doesn't always come. I used to do it when I was younger and things, and in my teenage and high school years, and even in my 20s and things, I used to do a lot of, I used to lift weights a lot, I used to run a lot, ran several miles every evening. I actually did enjoy it, and I used to do all those things and played many sports and things. I enjoyed that, but it doesn't always come easy. I can remember when I first started running, I wasn't a big runner. My best friend, Mark, he was a big runner. He ran marathons and things, and he ran track and field in school. And I think every day he ran 10 miles a day when we were in our school years and he trained and everything. And I can remember the first time I left home and started running, and I plotted out a particular course, and I'd run a little bit and I'd walk a little bit. I'd run a little bit and I'd walk a little bit. I'd run a little bit and I'd walk a little bit. And in every single day or couple days, I'd try to go a little further. It took me weeks before when I left my house to make that whole track running. It took a long time. I had to exercise that. And then you can extend further than that. But the same thing with humility, we have to exercise. It doesn't always come easily. It doesn't always come naturally. Every day I feel that it's a part of our lives. Some things we have to work at that and keep our humility before God, recognizing it's not me, Lord. It's not my life. It's not my power that I'm living the way I am. It's not my power that I'm saved. It's not. It upsets me so bad when I hear people that are living in sin, living as that first verse or that second verse says, and the choosing my path in blindness, their blindness. They're going astray, they're wandering far away. It upsets me so much when I hear people say, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You're living in deep sin. But people are. They're in blindness. There's a pride there
that they feel that they're above God and making that choice. As I studied this afternoon, there are many different types of pride. And pride comes in many different ways and fashions. You know, there are some people that we were kind of talking a little bit about, you know, today being St. Paddy Day and nationalities. You know, not a one of us had an opportunity or choice to be born in whatever we were. Whether you're Irish, whether you're Italian, whether you're German, whether you're whatever, Mexican, whatever, Chinese, whatever. We didn't have a choice. We didn't, before we were born, put in, hey, I'll make a request to be here. I've often thanked God, I'm glad I've been born where I was born. I thank God. I thank God that I was born a United States citizen. I thank God that I was born and able to be in the services or be in church and Sunday school. I thank God for that. But some people, there's a pride with them that I am an American and have a choice in it. Pride that I'm whether it be German or Italian or Jewish or whatever. There's a pride there, and there's an arrogancy there of other people. There's a pride even with family, that I'm in a particular family, that I'm born of a particular family. There's a pride of accomplishments. That's a big thing. People become proud of their accomplishments in life. There's a pride of how people look. And that's very evident with many people. It's amazing how some people, they put in on all kinds of stuff, from their hair to their makeup to having plastic surgery and that word Botox, you heard of that, you know? They give you Botox to get rid of them wrinkles and all kind of things. There's a pride with that. To me it's such a disgrace, such a sickening when especially the movie stars and people out there that are famous, you know, when they were young and they looked great when they were young, but here they are now in the later of life, but they're still trying to look like their daughter that's 25 years old. It's a shame. It's a sadness. But it's a pride there. But the pride I want to look at this evening, that I think about some of these things and pride when I think about the main course of pride, and I know all what I mentioned falls under the same category, is a carnal pride. A pride of self. A pride of self-made person. A pride of who I am. When we think about pride, you think you deserve whatever. People think, I deserve whatever. I mean, there's sadness in our country today. People have such a pride. I'm entitled to having everything given to me. Those type of things. Or whatever. It may be whatever. Let's go back to Revelations and let's say some of these things we crossed over from this morning. Revelation chapter 3. We quoted some this morning. I don't think I got the whole verse of it. Revelations 3 and 17. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's a proud attitude. And our world is full of that today. Our world is full of that. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I don't have need of any help from you or anyone else. But God says, Jesus says here, and the humility part of us being a Christian, the third verse there, the humility part is realizing we are what this second part of this verse 17 says. And you know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And until we come to that place in life, we cannot become saved. Till we come to the place to realize I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing of myself. I have no power within myself. It is only by the grace of God. You know, some people that are proud, you know, homeless people can be proud. And I guess the thought, Lord help me to get the thought when I read those two verses this morning, we sang those. And verse 2 just struck with me. I thank God, Lord help me. If I had to choose, and I'm reading a little bit differently, but this is basically how the song is entitled. If I had to choose in my pathway, I'd be in blindness. People that are homeless.
There are some, they won't accept help from anyone. I can do things myself. And it's a sad thing. Now that's for someone at homeless, but the same way with anyone. It can be anyone the same way. When I'll mention here some things that you would think people shouldn't be proud of, but they are. There's a spirit. There's an attitude. There's a mindset of that I think, as Jesus says here in verse 13, they think I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I don't have need of anything. People that can be poor or homeless can be proud. But one of the things that we see people, how they're dressed, how they're acting, people that walk with that, just a disgrace. And sometimes I wish I would have the nerve to ask some people, why do you walk around with your pants halfway down your hips? And your underwear is showing and things like that. But that's a proudful thing. How they're dressed, how they're reacting in the world is an ugly way they act, but that's a proudful thing. And if it isn't but by the grace of God, there we go. Some people you can look at and you can say you have absolutely nothing to be proud of, but they're proud. There is a carnal pride. And as this man here, as we read back here in Luke, this man had a pride, a carnal pride. And he says that basically the rich fool there with his goods and all that, he says, I can take care of myself. I have much goods. All this is done by my hand. All the fruits that I've got bestowed up, and my barns can't hold it. What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do, and I preached this before on that chapter. And in that chapter, six times this man said that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build larger barns, and I'm going to put all my possessions in there, my fruits, my vegetables, or whatever. I'm going to put all those things there, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to take it easy and say it to thy soul, soul, be easy, be merry, enjoy life for what I have done. There's a pride. And it fits with verse 2. You chose the pathway. You're in complete blindness. You're wandering in darkness. And now the end. That Jesus says to that man, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose goods will they be afterwards? And as the song says, and you will not reach that land of endless day. Jesus says in Revelation, because you say, I have need of nothing, you are miserable and you don't know those things. In verse 3, it says, he leadeth true. I will not question. I thank God that I was in verse 2 one day. You were in verse 2 one day. But one day, by the grace of God, I found myself in verse 3. Lord, I need to humble myself. I need to repent. And I need to realize that your way is righteous way. Your way is best. He leadeth true, I won't question. Here I am, Lord, you direct me. As I said, even this morning, sitting on my porch, realizing, Lord, I need you. I need you in the years to come. I don't have any idea. You know, as a young person, they want to get married. That's what the good choice to get married, and they want to have a home. You know, and I know things are different today, but when I was growing up and you all were growing up, so we get married, we might live in an apartment. Right. You know, today they can't live in an apartment. You know, they might have worked at McDonald's or something. Today they can't do that. They got to have a $100,000, $300,000 house first and cars and all the things. But back in them days, I wanted to get married, and we lived in an apartment. But you know what? I didn't really want to live in the apartment all my life. I wanted to have a home. Right. I wanted to have something that was ours. So you work towards that. And you put some money away, and you save up, and you get your finances right, and children come along, and that's a good desire, and you have a home, and you start building on that. And from age maybe early 20s or mid 20s, or from all the way to 30s and 40s, you do that. You focus on building a life. But when you get to one place in our lives now, you've done all that.
And there's not any great goals you're going to achieve or go after, you know, from here on out. Well, I got a home. Well, I want a $400 or $5 million. I mean, you're not traveling after that. And you realize that the strength, as we talked about some a little bit Wednesday, but our strength is not like it was at one time. So the years from here on out, Lord, I need you to help me to make good decisions. I need you to help me to make proper decisions in life. I can't afford to make a wrong decision in something in this part of life. I don't have enough time to recorrect it or financially recorrect it. I need to get it right now. He leadeth true. I won't question, Lord. Even through the battles, even through the valley, as I go, Lord, I'm not going to question your direction. Though I should pass through clouds of trial, and Lord, if I have to drink the cup of human woe, Lord, I recognize, and by the grace of God, I'm going to humble myself that your way is best in every part of my life. Every single part of my life. Anytime that we acknowledge to the Lord, you're right, is a humbling attitude. Lord, not my way. Lord, you're right. And you know, we have to do that. As I said, we have to humble ourselves every day. We have to exercise ourselves every day. Because sometimes it little flare come up, little pride. Pride's always trying to get in there. Pride's always trying to get in there and say, you know, you've been around a little bit. You have a little bit of knowledge. Maybe you could do things different. I might be able to do things different, but Lord, I need to cross it with God first. You might want to buy something. You might want to do something. You might want to achieve something. Well, that might be true. But Lord, I need your direction. How many times have we prayed and heard the saints pray, Lord, this is something that I want to do or achieve, and I'm asking God, what do we ask God? Lord, I'm asking you to either shut the doors or open doors. We do that. Sometimes we go after a particular thing, and it just seems like it's not working, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And the Lord says, you just need to leave that alone and take that as God's answer. Sometimes God allows it to flow and just move right on through. But when we acknowledge, Lord, you're right, as an act of humility. Let's go to Micah chapter 6. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He says, God showed you what to do. God showed you what to do. He says, show thee, O man, what is good. What the Lord required to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord. Remember the little song we used to teach children about joy? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second. I don't remember if that's how the phrase was. Yourself last. A humble attitude. What was that?
Jesus and others and you were the one who is found joy.
Yeah. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between.
Yeah, well, same way, I just had to mix it. But we put Christ first. And we put Christ first, we put others second. We put others before ourselves. And then ourselves, yourself last. But see, that's not the norm for people. I want to be first. And I still have not, one of these days, Lord help me ever, I'm dying to see one of those people with a bumper sticker and have the opportunity to talk to them. And it says, Jesus is my co-pilot. And I'm dying to walk up to them one day and say, I like that bumper sticker. Because Jesus is my co-pilot. God is the pilot. The Holy Ghost is the navigator. And I need to go in the back and sit down and just behave myself. That's what I need to do. But see, other ones don't. They want that sign, that bumper sticker mean, Jesus is a co-pilot, but I'm running things. And when I get in trouble, I need for Jesus to take over. That's what they mean in that bumper sticker. We need to put Christ first, put ourselves last and others in between there. We can't be humble just when we get saved only. You know, for an individual to get saved, they have to humble themselves. But we can't just be humble on that day only. Lord, I want to repent from sin. I recognize that I'm a sinner and come to a place and repent and humble ourselves. And we get up and we move forward. We have to stay humble. The next day, the next day, the next day. We must keep ourselves humble. Pride is always trying to work itself back into our character. As we get humble, as we repent from sin, and thank God that we realize I am nothing. That's the only way we can really get saved. Lord, I'm nothing, and without you, I'll die lost. And we repent, and God sees our humility. God sees our honesty there, and he saves us, and there's a blessing and a goodness to us. But the very next day we get up, you know what the enemy? He's trying to insert that pride back into our character. And trying to insert carnality back in there. Trying to insert you need to do things. You got good, you got cleaned up, but now you can take care of things yourself. We have to keep ourselves humble every day. You know, it says that Jesus, of all, he humbled himself. One of the songs in the Christmas song talks about him laying his glory down. I think Hark the Herald Angels Sing I was looking at. Mild, he laid his glory down. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory. Right. Yes. Laid it down and came here knowing what he was going to have to suffer for you and I. Of all the ones, he humbled himself the greatest. He didn't have to. No. And that plan was set up before the foundations of the world were even formed. He knew he would have to come here and do that. And he was willing to do that. We don't have any glory. And we need to lay our pride down. We need to lay that down that affects us to wanting to do things our way. Paul said one time, I am what I am by the grace of God. Look at a story that I so much enjoy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. I know it's a different thought, but I look at it as a very humble attitude. I know the story is dealing with this woman of active faith, her faith towards believing in Christ, but I feel it's a humbling attitude here. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to pick up in verse 22. And behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Completely out of context for what something Jesus would do. But we know the story. He knew her faith. She cried to him. She goes, I have a burden. I have a need. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's in torment. She understood one thing, that Christ was the one that could help her. No one else was going to be able to help her. And she came and she fell to her knees, no doubt, and pleading with him. And it says, he answered her not a word. I've never experienced this that I know of. I've heard other ones say that somebody gets offended because you didn't walk over and shake their hand. They walked in the church and didn't even shake my hand. She didn't even shake my hand. What would you have done if this would have been you with Jesus? Allow that pride to creep in. Well, he ain't going to talk to me. I won't talk to him. You miss a blessing. You miss a wonderful blessing. You know, in Hagerstown sometimes, of course, not here too much, but at all, because I usually try to go around everybody. Not all the time do I do. I might miss somebody, but in Hagerstown, you try to go and meet people and greet people. But after a while, closer to service or whatever, and I find myself and I sit
But some people, I appreciate them. Even the younger people, they'll do it. They'll get up. They'll be on the other side of the room, and they'll get up, and they'll make a track all the way over to me and say hello and greet me. And I appreciated that. I appreciate that. What would it take to offend us? Well, Jesus, he says he didn't even answer this woman a word. And then it even continued to get worse. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. I know I laughed at it. I think about it because I know the story. The woman was not deterred. She was not going to go away. But the disciples said, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, send her away. She's troubling us. Again, she didn't allow her pride to take over. She kept herself humble. She kept herself right there before God. But it wasn't over. Verse 24. And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, what I have is not for your benefit. The healing process is for the house of Israel. You're not a child of God. You're not one of my children. It's not for you. But he answered and said that in verse 25. Then she came and she worshipped him. She humbled herself in such a way. You know, she didn't have anywhere else to go. She could have got an attitude and said, well, fine, you know, you rejected me, your disciples send me away, you tell me what, I'm of no value to have this blessing. But she didn't take that. She came and she worshiped him. Let me tell you, all of us, sometimes it doesn't take but just a very little bit to upset us and get an attitude. I'm not going to talk to him. Linda and I were talking over the week for the funeral, kind of comical. Sometimes things happen in families. And the family that was in the funeral things, and I don't remember what all was, but some things happen in families. And one thing we were talking about was kind of unnecessary, and people don't speak for years. Mm-hmm. Yep. Years. Yep. Maybe even pass away. And I'm not talking about maybe cousins and all. I'm talking about mothers and sons, mothers and daughters, children, siblings. Never speak. Let me tell you what. This woman was not going to leave because she knew that Christ was what she needed. Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her one more time. That was even devastating to her. No doubt it should have been. But he answered and said, it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There is not a one of us in here that would have probably stayed at the feet of Christ and we'd have left. We'd have probably left maybe long before when he ignored us. But she had a humbling attitude. She knew that he was what she needed. And she wasn't going to go away until she got the answer. Or he completely rejected her and walked away himself. But she even went in a humble attitude. He says, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fell from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And thy daughter was made whole from that very hour. We are not worthy of God's goodness. Amen. The Bible says he allows the rain to come on the just and the unjust. Allow the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. We're not worthy of God's goodness. I've mentioned many a times, I'm not worthy to handle the word of God. I'm not worthy to preach it. And I've said many times, I thank God that he's given me the opportunity and has used me many times in the preaching of the word of God to be a blessing to someone.
We cannot judge ourselves by others also. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we're going to pick up here in verse 1. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So they were upset at what Pilate done, and they were trying to get Jesus to condemn Pilate and say he's a bad sinner and a worse person and all this. Verse 2, and Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus says, I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Sometimes we try to justify ourselves by others. Look at those over there, what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad sinners. You know, that brother, that sister, they stole thousands, $10,000 they stole from the church. They're bad sinners. They ran off with the preacher's wife. They ran off with the preacher. They committed adultery with one another. They're bad. There have been TV evangelists down through the years. Nothing that isn't on the news and all. Back then, remember what the Bakers did? Remember what Jimmy Swaggart did? We can look at what the Catholic Church has done. But we can't judge ourselves by them. As I read to you earlier, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. If not by the grace of God, there go be. There go I go. Because the devil wants to insert pride in us. And if he can insert pride in us to do something to get our own little mind. Judas was one that traveled with Jesus Christ for them 3 years. Seeing what Christ done. And the Bible says that he was a thief from the beginning. And he took and he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. I know the Bible doesn't say it, but I just can't help in my mind to believe that Judas had seen them try to capture Jesus time and time and time again, and they couldn't. And he just walked away from them, walked out of the crowd. He disappeared from them. They couldn't find him. And Judas probably thought, you know, if I sell Jesus and I tell him who he is, he'll tell the same thing. They don't have the power to take him, and he'll go away. I'll have the 30 pieces of silver, and they won't have Jesus, and the things will go on. But it didn't work that way. What we talked about a little bit this morning, sometimes we can make a decision to do something, and when we make that decision to do something, and it's sort of in our terms today, backfires on us, now we're in great trouble. And Judas was in great trouble. And he tried to repent, but he didn't. But we can't justify ourselves. And we need, as I sang, all these kind of thoughts run through my mind. You know, people that have made choices, bad choices, as I said, some of these TV evangelists and people that have stolen money and from the church and done all kinds of things, committed adultery, you know, they made choices to choose a different pathway, and in blindness they should go astray. If not by the mercy and grace of God, I would have done the same thing. You may have done the same thing. Sure. By the mercy of God. Pharisee and the publican went down one time. And the Pharisee stood and prayed a certain way. He said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like this other man. I give of all my tithes. I fast so many times in a week. I do this, I do this. I show you all these things. All that was pride. Look at what I've done, Lord.
And the devil can do that to each and every one of us. I've been saved 20 years, 30 years. I've been in the church. I've been on the board. I've preached. I've taught. I've sang. I've done all these things. It means nothing if we don't keep ourselves humble before God and keep God first.
Yes.
He says, Lord, I thank you that not as this other man. I'm not an extortioner and all these things and all this and everything. And the other man, he said, the Bible said, he says he stood from a far way off and he smote his breast, didn't even look up to the heaven. He said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. This man went down justified more than the other. The psalm says, though I should pass through clouds of trial, the devil is going to do his best to puff you and I up over dumb things. You know that? Over ridiculous things. Anything. Just to get discouraged along the way. He's going to try that. The Bible lets us know that Solomon, King Solomon, and King Saul, the Bible lets us know while they were little in their own eyes, God blessed them. God used them. But you know what happened? They got puffed up. They got lifted up. They got proudful. I can take care of things. I've been in the battle a couple times. I've been in some wars of the enemy. I know the tactics of the enemy. I can take care of some things. He's setting you up to be destroyed. But as long as they were young, as long as they stayed little in their own eyes, God used them. But they became too lifted up and proudful, and it was the end of their destruction. Lord, help us. God's way is best. I will not murmur. Lord, help us to be that way. We can end our prayers. Lord, why? God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, where'er he leads me, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. Help us, Lord, to stay that way. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's turn to our page to 388. Psalm book 388. Closer, closer, Lord. my soul is lost in love, in the brighter.